So my apologies, Chris. Our on-ramp today was basically the length of our normal podcast. So our normal podcast is going to shrink, which might be good for the poor people out there that listen to it. They might
What's
not want a full hour, so now they're not going to get one.
hashtag summer school?
Hashtag summer school. And that's what it is, right? It's like I feel like you and I have the opportunity because we're not rushed. Per se, that we can just talk like normal people, even though we still have other things to do. I just feel like everything slows down this summer. It's like the Matrix. Do you agree?
I like that. It's funny, that's on my list to rewatch. I don't know what reference someone else made that reference to. I think you know what it was. I think it was one of my kids complaining about the rain, and I made some offhanded reference to, we'll just avoid the raindrops. And they looked at me like, and but
Dad,
in
come
my
on.
yeah in my mind though, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like those battle scenes in the fighting scenes in the Matrix. Pretty much every one of them where. What was it? I think that is it the Wachowski? It's like, is it two brothers or a brother and a sister? Basically, the group that designed that, they designed that new tech, that bullet time tech. They were the ones that created not only the 360 degree, 360 degree camera, but also slowing it down so much that it's like you have simultaneously regular speed and slow time speed, and their whole thing, the tech was called bullet time. Have you ever seen their kit, their setup for the filming of those movies? Phenomenal, phenomenal. Green screen room, cameras set up, sometimes in a spiral, sometimes in a, is it not only a spiral, but a spiral up, sometimes a spiral around. And it's those all those high def cameras capturing simultaneously from all angles, so that all of a sudden the camera lens can shift over to this side all of a sudden, and person can sort of lean back and avoid the raindrop or outside. Yeah, cool stuff. Anyways, obviously my children, 7 and 10, have absolutely 0 point of reference to the Matrix, and I'm telling them to avoid raindrops, and they're like, "You're nuts, Dad. You're nuts." But Matrix, yeah.
That's funny that you would that's funny that you give them a reference and they have no idea what you're talking about, because this week when I was at the beach with my kids, they were making references to stuff and I had no idea what they were talking about. So it's a bit of a reverse from you and I had to figure it out. So we had some good laughs because of that. Which okay, so we're this re kind of reminds me, I'd really like an update from you on what's been going on with you so far. In your summer away from work as a teacher. So I'm gonna drag the purpose of this podcast that we created almost a year ago now, and just give me an update. What's going on with you, teacher, in the middle of July? What's going on?
There's been a lot of moments of losing time. And it's the paradox of wanting downtime and filling downtime. And there's somewhere in the sweet spot that both my spouse and I have observed that if you're really busy doing things, your days feel fuller. And by having them fuller, here's the paradox, you feel more relaxed. Just in the on-ramp, we talked, just touched on that idea of escape velocity. Like, what do you have to do to make yourself feel like you're pulling away from the planet a little bit? And if the planet is our 10 months in school, and we talked about this in the last week of school too, is, how different are you the morning after? When you wake up, how many days does it take you to sort of feel like you're no longer in school mode? It's somewhere in the last week, I would say, I'm starting to have a looser tether to what day it is and what date it is. And so then the question is, I'm not completely losing it, but it does happen. And I have to check my watch, or I have to look at the calendar. I have to ask my spouse, sometimes I ask my kids if they're tracking it. And it's funny what brings me back to ground. So what is it that keeps you back in the chronology of the summer? And we know we've got about 8 weeks to do stuff with. So here's where I come back to ground, where I'm no longer sort of just free time, wake up whenever you want, kind of do whatever you want. There's a whole list of jobs that I need to get through around the house. Like, there's little bits of things that have to be done. 2 years ago, I tried to put some sparkly lights up in. We have two big maples in the backyard. And 2 years later, these little sparkly lights that stopped working, they were old Christmas lights. I thought it might be kind of cool just to have them up there, kind of lighting one of the areas of our backyard. Well, they stopped working and I never took them down. And now they're higher. So I've got as many down as I can. And now I have to climb the tree. So stay tuned. There could be a YouTube video in this. We bought a new car, new used car. So again, this is the stuff that you come back to ground again, because you have to be engaged in your life. You have to sort of be paying attention. You got to read paperwork. You got to make a phone call. You got to send an email. I've started some of my preparation for my program in September, through the Geneva Center in, out of Toronto. So, developing my understanding of, ABA and some practices that will feed into my actual planning. Haven't started the actual planning yet. I'm just researching, I guess. What else? The conversation with my sister. Now, this is just in a broad sense. There's a lot of my sister and we've talked about this, but we're not getting along all that well right now. And this is exacerbated a little bit by the distance. She's out on the West Coast. So, you know, the 3-hour difference, making time to connect. I won't say we're making headway, but it's not in the same space as when I kind of updated you last time. And we still haven't cleaned up all our school stuff. Both my spouse and I, that bag of work. I don't know how about there's the bag of work and the shelf of crap. There's the 2.0, but am I on track with this? The shelf of crap. So the shelf of crap, teachers, new teachers, you too will have a shelf of crap at home. And the shelf of crap is the things that you bring home from school and you say to yourself, you say it out loud or you say it because you're nostalgic, this is going to have value to me one day. I'm going to definitely use this again. And you end up putting it on the shelf. And whether it's a digital shelf, maybe you're all up in gaps, whether it's an actual shelf that you need to put your binders on, man, that stuff, it's like rabbits. It multiplies because you forget, eh? You really do forget. My spouse is in transition now, you know, between schools, between programming, and she's gotten rid of, like, she's cleaned out binders. Now she has far more binders than I ever had. She's been paper-based teacher, in her planning for a long time. I kind of flipped to digital pretty quick. So I bought contractor garbage bags. Here's the thing. Okay. So besides the fact that I'm a teacher, I'm, you know, dad, guy, husband, son. So I have all the stuff that, because I have a house, that I store stuff in my house. I have all the extra bits. I have all the, my basement is full of stuff that it's not even all mine. It's just the family's. On top of that, I'm an educator. So on top of that bag of work and the shelf of crap, I also have all the stuff from my school. And it's funny, one, how you forget. You forget about how much paper weighs and how much space it takes up. But the thing that I forget about all the time as well is the cycle of waste. Because whether you're shredding it or taking it to the dump or into the recycling bin, there's something definitely that I don't know if that happens necessarily outside of EDU, where every couple of years, you look at everything that you've developed for your job in the binders on your shelf at home. It's not something that's completely housed at the office or is embedded in somebody else's process. Or you wouldn't even think to yourself, if you and I worked at, you know, I don't know, a hydro company, I don't think that, you know, I'd be saying to you, can I have your binder for organizing the electrical grids in Ontario? And then you're like, yeah, buddy, go ahead, take it, photocopy what you need and give it back to me. And then I make a copy and I keep it at home. I don't think this is a thing in necessarily other jobs. It's like a weird bit of independent contractor mindset that happens in teaching, where you almost think like you have to squirrel away those resources at home. Yeah. So I forget about the waste, but I'm reminded about the waste as I'm carrying four bags of contractor quality garbage bags, and I'm loading up the car to take it to the dump. And there's a real cost there, because when I go to the dump and my vehicle is 90% full of teacher resources that we've developed for a classroom, that costs me $10. So there's a $10 charge for me to, because I can't get it out to my curb. We have a limit on the number of bags. So I'm going to have to pay the price to take it to the dump. And then that, I'll say the last thing to that. So this is where you come back to ground. This is where you come back to ground, right? I also know that this won't be my last trip, because now all of a sudden we're looking at everything else. We're like, geez, yeah, do we really want those, you know, we have a lot of books as well. So it's not just random cleaning out binder stuff. We got books. You go through all your little, you know, your I can't even tell you how many pencils and pens we have in the house. We have a ridiculous amount of EDU waste that I could look at any moment and say, there's another 10 bucks. I start counting it up like, holy crap, I'm going to spend 100 bucks to clear out all the stuff that I've just from the shelf of crap. I don't even know if I want to write that down on here. I'm going to put the bag of work equals, no, bag of work arrow shelf of crap.
You have to have. I'm begging you to keep EDU waste.
EDU waste?
Put that on the sketch, because EDU waste, I don't know, dude, there's something about that that's hilarious, because you're talking and I don't know how many connections I just made to the things you said. Number one, the first week we had off, I had, my wife has a system. Black bags for garbage, orange bags for giveaway. And then the contractor bags is for the heavy things that we can't put on the curb. They have to, I've got to throw them in the car. They've got to go to the dump. So we've got a 3-bag system. And the first week we had orange bags like crazy. So we took those to the dump, but there's a place at the dump. There's a trailer right before you enter and you have the pay area. There's a trailer where you can drop off your giveaway stuff. So because our orange bags are giveaway, they're either it's clothes or toys or EDU waste that can be used by other people. So I've already done one trip and I'll be doing more. So I did that and I got away with murder because it was free. The thing about time getting away on you, dude, I'm walking from the trailer park we stayed at to the beach. And as I'm walking, it's really cool. It's this nice little, it looks like a neighborhood from the 60s, this trailer park. It's like going back in time. I think that's why we keep going back, because it reminds us of when we were kids. But I'm walking. I got the beach chairs on one shoulder, and I've got the, the cooler bag on the other shoulder. And I'm walking past a lady who's sitting at her site drinking coffee, just chilling. And she's like, good morning. I said, good morning. How are you today? She's like, great. How are you? I'm like, fantastic. And she says something. I say to her, I don't even know what day it is. And I wasn't joking. I didn't know, because we had got there. It was a couple of days in and we still had a few more days before the end. So in that beautiful middle, I have no idea what time it is. I knew it was morning because somebody said something in the trailer that it wasn't noon yet. So I knew it was morning, but I didn't know. I honestly didn't know what day it was. I would need to stop and actually like turn on the machine to get an idea. And I'm pointing at my head to get an idea of like, okay, we got here on Friday. We did this on Saturday. So today must be this or that or whatever. So she says, oh, it's Tuesday. And I'm like, right on. Have a great Tuesday. And as I'm walking, I'm like, okay, it's Tuesday. So then I'm thinking, and then the machine was on. I'm like, okay, we got a few more days. I start thinking, okay, dinner tonight is, we're eating out tonight.
You start tomorrow, to hear, you start to hear, right? Like, yeah, just all of a sudden, man.
And then, but there's still the teacher side, right? Like, there's still the EDU waste came up on the drive home. My wife said to me, okay, when I get home, we need to do this, this, and this. Kind of like we were grounding each other by talking about, okay, we just spent a week away in La La Land. Now we're coming back. So there are things we have to do before the next time we get up and we go. And one of the things that came up was EDU waste. She said to me, did you have to bring all that stuff home from your last school? Did you throw anything out? I'm like, yeah, there was a lot of stuff that I threw out. She's like, 'cause the basement looks like a bomb went off. Like, you've got a lot of stuff. And I said to her, yeah, I get that. I said, a lot of the big boxes are books, like they're reading books. I'm not throwing away books for kids to read. They're very important. She's like, yeah, whatever. What about all this other stuff? I'm like, there were odds and ends that I just didn't want to put into a box. That's just the way I am. I'm not a very good packer. I'm not a very good mover. So it looks crazy. I would take a picture. I would only show you, though. I'd never post it because I don't want people to see it. But EDU waste, she was like, dude, you got too much. There's too much. So now I'm thinking, okay, when it's time to move back into my new school, I will open every box before I throw it in the SUV to make sure it's legit and it needs to go to school. And then the rest is gone. It's either giveaway or garbage. So there's my connection. And then the thing about school, we've never that's not true. I was going to say we've never gone on vacation so early in the summer before, but that's not true. We've never gone on a hardcore week-long trip so soon after school. Usually we go to Ottawa to visit my family right when school ends for Canada Day, but we stay for like 4 days and we come back. But reading this book, Stealing Fire, that you had suggested, I've never said your name more in the last week and a half than I have this week and a half because of this book. Because when I talk about it, I'm like, Chris Clough told me about it. Then people are like, who's Chris Clough? I'm like, that's not important. But I need to give it. I need to give credit to Chris Clough because he's the one that got me into it. But I've been and I talked about this last night on the Voice Ed radio show that I'm doing, which strangely enough has not been broadcast, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So I'm talking about this book, and I'm talking about the connections I've made from this book to my life as a teacher, and one of the main connections I've made is around flipping the switch. So about entering into the zone where nothing else matters outside of what you're currently doing, right? Like, and Chris and I talked a little bit about this on the on-ramp about me and how I've been entering my zone lately, but I've been reflecting on the times as a teacher that I've entered into the zone with my kids, that state of flow where everything is just punching through at the speed of light and everybody knows everybody else's moves and nothing else matters. What people are saying on the outside of this and what's actually happening on the outside of our flow, none of it matters because we're in the flow. We've flipped the switch and everything that's extraneous to what we're doing does not exist because we are so focused. We are so, I guess, motivated and just like flowing, right? Like just going with the flow and everything's just punching along as it should. And that reflection, that connection to my work as an educator from this book, which has nothing to do with education, got me thinking about the years where the end of the school year comes and I don't feel ready to leave. And my kids don't feel ready to leave because being in that moment, everything's working so well, everybody's finding success and everybody's meeting needs that we don't want it to end. Now, dude, I have to be honest with you, and this hurts a little bit, but I've not felt that in a long time. And so in my reflection, now I'm analyzing why haven't I felt that I haven't felt that in years. I haven't felt that in at least the past 4 years of teaching. I've come to the end of the year and I've been more than happy to leave and so have the kids. That kind of bothers me a little bit, because having known what it feels like to flip the switch with a group of kids and not want to leave at the end of June, because we're rocking it and we're doing lots of amazing things and demonstrating our learning. So now I'm in the mode of, uh-oh, what have I been doing the last at least 4 years that I need to get back to in order to flip the switch? What am I doing? What's been happening? I have an idea, and some of it I don't want to say on air, because it's not legit. It's not positive. Not to say that I never say anything negative, but I don't want to go there in this medium, right? So, but I'm hoping that at my new school, new people, new kids, back in the grades where I used to feel the switch flip, I'm hoping that I can get back into flow. We'll see. I don't know. Time will tell. So, you know, like you, I've lost track of time. I have a wedding this week. So I'm worried. Like I said to my wife, I hope we don't forget to go to the wedding. Because that's how time leaves me and us when we're not having to go to work. Now, we have some appointments and stuff. The kids are going to camp this week. So we will be grounded when this week starts, because we have to get them to camp. We have things to do. So that will ground us. We'll get to the wedding. But it's that concern. And EDU waste, reflecting, like reading and then applying it to like my work as a teacher. I'm in the middle of that. But my kids are going to camp this week. So that means that I'll actually sit down and look at like hardcore plans. Like I'll actually start to map out ideas for this school year. It's funny. I think the second last day of school, I texted a friend of mine who works at the new school, and I asked him some what I consider important questions about reading and reading programs at the school. And he just responded to me yesterday. He's like, "Oh my God, I don't know how I missed your text. I'm really sorry. But here's the answer to your question." So it was kind of nice, because I was home yesterday, and he was already starting to feed my work that I'm going to do this week. And he's already saying to me, "I'm open to talking. Let's talk about this. How can we figure this out?" So that'll kickstart my thinking. Oh, I was going to tell you a story. Now I can't remember. I wanted to go back to something I said at the beginning of my rant, and now it's gone. Oh, darn. Oh, well. Oh, my work on voice ed radio. Okay.
I would have brought you back to that. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if we talked about this last week in the first episode of Summer School. So I decided that I would participate with voice ed radio this summer to have like a live radio show for 40 minutes, an hour, whatever. And I don't know did we talk about like how I felt like we did. I think we talked about how I felt like I was wasting my time and Stephen Hurley's time as he was taking me through the process of setting up my computer and getting the tech ready for like live broadcast. And nothing was going right. Everything was going wrong. Like nothing was working. My computer was missing, you know, certain software that I needed. So we're fishing the internet for the software. And like this was supposed to be a 30-minute meeting. And it became an hour and a half meeting. And I was like, why are we doing this? Like, I'm so sorry I'm wasting your time, Steven. I don't have what I need. And it's like, this is killer, man. An hour and a half has just been wasted of both of our lives for what? Like, did we even get anywhere? I was really starting to feel down. And then I was like, okay, back off on that and move forward. So everything was fine. We figured it out. But then as I was getting closer to leaving for my week-long trip to the beach, I was running out of time. Like I hadn't messaged him and said, "Hey, can you throw me on air tomorrow night at 9 p.m. or tomorrow morning at 7:30? Can you get me a spot?" Because he has to give me a spot. Like he has to literally assign me a time, and then the computer will allow me to log in and go. And I hadn't done it. And I was starting to feel bad. And I'm like, I was kind of pissed off at myself because I set myself up for this reflection time, this learning time, this like giving something to Voicehead Radio, and I've not done it. So I'm like, forget it. I'm just going to record something and give it to him, and I'm gonna do it in a way that I'm gonna put all the pressure of being live on me. So like all the music that I need to queue up has to be ready and everything. So I do it, and I go for about 45 minutes, and I package it all up, and I think I literally sent him the file like 30 minutes before we get in the car to go to the beach. Like literally, like I'm getting in trouble at the house because people are trying to like upload videos to iPads for the kids to watch on the drive. And I'm like, I just need the internet for another 20 minutes kind of thing. I need to suck all the bandwidth because I'm doing this podcast stuff. So I send it out to him, and I'm feeling good, right? I'm like, this is awesome. Got the first episode of down, and then I get to the beach, and I was literally sitting in a chair waiting for people to gather their stuff. And I get a message from him, and he's like, and he's out and about in the world. So he's like, I just got home, just got your message. I'm going to process this. I'm going to pump it out to the world. I'm like, okay. 30 minutes later, he writes back. He's like, how long did you say it was? Because it cuts off at 33 minutes. And I'm like, dude, it's 45 minutes long. And he's like, I only have 33 minutes. I'm like, well, I'm in the boonies. I got no tech. So it's going to have to wait till I get home next week for me to fix. So like, okay, no worries. So now I'm back in the failure mode. I'm like, I had one job.
Yeah.
And I had one job, and now it's not happening. So I get home from the beach the other day. I set up the computer, which is a disaster because this office is being redone. You see the ghost here? I'm pointing at the ghost standing behind me. I set everything up and I fix it. I send it out to him, and I'm like, okay, dude, it's good to go. It's ready. Episode one of the show is good. All 45 minutes are there. He's like, okay, cool. When I get home, I will deal with it. Cause he's away. He went away for a week to some self-regulation conference where he's broadcasting live all the info that's happening there and the cool stuff that's happening there. He's broadcasting on Voicehead Radio. So he's not dealing with my first episode, which is totally fair. So yesterday I'm sitting here. I'm like, well, I got to get back on. The dude's not around. I'm not going to bother him. I have time now. I'm not going to bother him for a live spot. So I do the second episode yesterday. And even yesterday at the end of the second episode, I basically said, I said on air, I don't even know why I'm doing this because I'm still feeling uncomfortable. And the uncomfortable feeling is talking to myself. I'm not getting any feedback from anybody. I'm just talking. And I think I like to have someone talk back to tell me, wow, you're way off, or have you considered this, or just gathering somebody else's opinion about the topic. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking about this book. I'm talking about tweets. I'm talking about what the Ontario government is doing to sexual education right now. Like, I'm talking because that's what you do on the radio. And even at the end of it, I'm like, it's the weirdest feeling to do something that you're not feeling I'm feeling the vibe, but you get to a bumper where you're like, I'm still talking to myself. Like, I'm used to having people talk back. So anyway, I even forgot the name of my show. So like at the end, I'm like, so this has been, and I said it, I'm like, I can't remember the name of my show. And I'm like, Barba Grande. Okay. The second episode's done. If anybody heard it, maybe you'll hear it again next week. I don't know. But here's the beauty, dude. Here's the beauty. The only person that really needs to care about what I'm doing is me, number one.
Yeah. Yep.
The second person who has to kind of care is Stephen Hurley because it's his radio station. So if he's like, dude, I don't like what you're doing, you're not going back on air, I got to give the dude two thumbs up. It's his station, right? He doesn't have to have me on. Those are the only two people, really. If I'm going to be on his station, he has to kind of dig what I'm doing. and I got to dig what I'm doing. So the beauty of all this is it doesn't matter if nobody listens to it, to me. It doesn't matter because I'm getting something out of it. It would be great if people heard it and they could comment on it or push back. Great. But the uncomfortable feeling is enough to keep me going. And I'm acknowledging that uncomfortable feeling. I told you I was going to embrace the fear. I was going to hug it and put it aside. Yesterday, it actually sat on my lap near the end. It sat here. And it's like, why are you wasting your time? Why are you wasting everybody's time? What are you doing? You're talking to yourself. You're talking to yourself in your office. And you're producing something. And you're going to put it out there. Why? Right here on my lap. And I was like, talk all you want. I'm not listening to you. I'm just going to do this. And I get that funny feeling. But you know what? That funny feeling, like, it never goes away. I was talking to my kids about it at the beach. I'm like, that feeling you get of anxiety, you can call it fear. You can give it whatever name you want. It's never going to go away. And if you try to escape it all the time, you will never accomplish anything in your life because it never goes away. So it was really cool. I had this great conversation with my kids where they were nagging me and I wasn't getting defensive. I wasn't getting angry. I was just being matter of fact. Like, you can go out and try this and you're going to feel funny. But I'm telling you right now, I felt it the other day before we came to the beach. And I'm a grown man with a profession. I'm well educated, right? Like, I have a family. I'm doing things. And it never goes away. So you have to deal with that. How do you deal with it, right? For me, I like to say I don't care. I do care, but like I like to say, well, I don't care. Why am I doing what I'm doing? I have to know that. And if I'm good with it, then it will hopefully propel me. And if I'm not good with it, if the fear is just too much or the anxiety is too much, then I will walk away because I don't want to cripple myself. So having said all that, yeah, it's out there. I've got two episodes. They exist. They just need, Stephen has to now find the time to put them out. And I'm hoping that this coming week, I will be a little bit more proactive and I will get a live time and I can go live on air. Because that's the vision, to be live. He wants more live stuff and I want to help. I volunteered to help, but it's just not worked out so far. But at least I'm producing something, so that's good.
Try them. That's Periscope it.
I don't want to use Periscope because then it's another app on my phone. It's okay. Another social, and I've stepped away. I only have three true social apps on my phone, and those are the three I've chosen to keep. So
stay there.
I'm not touching Periscope.
All right.
And I don't do Flipgrid. I'm that guy now. I'm the guy, Bill, try something new. And I'm not trying it. I don't want to. I've done this or done that. I'm not doing it. And it's funny because I'm the one who's always telling people to try new stuff. But I have to say that I do try new stuff. I just have a line for certain things.
It's funny because that was one of the spaces that I found myself in when I stepped away for a little bit. Is that coming back? That's what becomes the difficult part in this. And if I broaden it even further, the fact that you've done a podcast, I think you and I stepping into this project, it was a podcast without it being a podcast, which allowed us the freedom to kind of step away entirely from what you can talk about, how you learn your craft, but what you learn about your craft also can become the boundaries. It becomes the safe zone of how you should do your thing, whether it's teaching, whether it's being the dad, whether it's being the podcaster. You realize that the things that you build as far as the skill sets, they also can become suffocating a little bit. So in you and I coming at this and like, we're just going to go with the flow, I've really learned about what I want to do. I've learned to accept that there's things I don't want to do anymore. And that was hard. That was hard because it was stuff that I was doing with the podcast that I just thought I thought that's, I have to keep doing that once you set the pattern, right? There's an expectation. I love what you said. Your new step has to be about what you enjoy doing. And I would definitely say you're on the right track if that's what you're driving at, for sure. But in doing this format, somewhere between doing this podcast with you, doing Decoded, and me stepping away from social media and me slowing down what I did with Chasing Squirrels, it gave me the space to see where it is I wanted to go next. The funny thing is that what I thought was going to give me freedom has actually made my choices a little bit more difficult because I am examining what it is I want to do next. So I completely respect the fact you're saying I'm going to use these social media tools and this is what I'm going to use. And it's not about what I heard in what you're saying is you're still going to try them. You're just avoiding the whole brand ambassadorship. Like you're not going to be the spokesperson on behalf. You're not going to be the one, hey, give this one a try. You're not going to push it that way. I had some other people say, really? You're not going to use Twitter in the same way anymore? Like you're the one that got me to give it a try. And I thought, well, okay, that's still your choice. And though I appreciate maybe I was leveraging something on that side, that's what I'm not going to do anymore. I'm just going to try and exist in these spaces. And if someone finds it, cool. If someone wants to talk about it, even better. But yeah, my drive actually in suggesting the Periscope was more thinking about what would be a way to include people in the discussion in real time. That was it at the heart, because I just know that with Periscope, people can kind of send the questions and my only suggestion there for that. However, there's probably 1,000 other ways. I'm just not smart enough to figure it out yet.
And I appreciate you jumping in with it. But I know, like I have that hard ceiling. I'm just not going through it. Mm-hmm. I get it. It's the beautiful thing about all of this now is I'm really enjoying the pushback lately on social. Like I just saw a tweet or something about, this whole mantra of love what you do. Make every day feel like you're not going to work. And I once jumped on that. Now I've jumped off and I'm kicking that. Somebody said, they're like, no, that's not what life is. Look around. There's a reason why 98% people are doing things they don't want to do. They have to do them to survive. I love it. I'm now really open to both sides of the coin, right? Like, I'm laughing at some people who are these brand ambassadors because they don't stop. They're pushing so many brands, it's become comical, right? You're one of the people I go to. I send you a lot of tweets and we talk about those tweets and I laugh about some of those tweets. There are some people that are on every single bandwagon. Your head spins when you mention that person's name. They so badly want to be in the here and now with everything that they're really not existing with anything. But that's my perspective on that, right? And it's like, there's something amusing about that. There's something, there's a relief. There's something that's calming knowing that that's not what I'm doing. I'm kind of the opposite now. I'm like, I'm not endorsing anything. I'm just doing my thing. And if a tool works, I might talk about the tool because it's serving my need, but I think
that's why I asked the question yesterday about what else are you qualified for? There was something, that tweet that I sent out, just asking people, you know, your alt life, if you weren't a teacher, what are you qualified to do? And I loved your tweet. That's a little bit of the pushback. I didn't know the shape of that. I didn't know if that was, you know, self-revelatory, or if it was, if you're commenting on me sort of poking other people a little bit. But I also love some people chime back and, you know, person saying, you know, I'd go back to doing advocacy for youth, back into law. And someone else, I'd go back to being a scientist. And that came out of, and again, to escape the brand management that can happen. That's the real stuff that's behind. That's getting to know the people that are in your PLN in a way that not a lot of people talk about. That tweet came out of me chatting with a dude when I was, we make wine. So we go to this guy to make wine, and so I was bottling up our batch of wine. And someone was asking the whole comment. It's like being at the barbershop. What do you do? And the guy that I go to knows my backstory and all that. But I was talking quite openly about how appreciative I am about being an educator for right now. And they're like, what do you mean for right now? I'm like, well, it's kind of for right now. I mean, it's good. I'm making it work. I'm happy. My family's happy. I'm satisfied, but it's not forever. And they're like, well, what do you mean it's not forever? I'm like, well, you know, I have a hospitality, I have a trade background. I could go back to that at some point. I still dig that. I still think about it. And people will often ask me about that. Like, why would you leave chefing? It's so late. And this is, again, when I transitioned, it was in the height of Food Network kind of a thing. Why would you ever do that? I'm like, I needed change. So yeah, I like I love everything that you said about trying to get to more of the meat and potatoes, you know, taking the dessert off the table altogether and not necessarily being satisfied with, and there's a whole lot of other, we don't have time to get into this, but there's so many other places now where we're getting really interesting pushback about being authentic in your social media space. And being authentic in a social media space, I would say in the last 6 months, has taken on a completely different flavor than it did the being authentic in order to promote people to build capacity. I feel like right now there is zero about that's in my PLN right now. I find there's zero safe place to just speak about building capacity without being authentic and speaking true to your context. And the individuals that are pushing product are starting to look a little strange. Like they're really kind of like outliers to where there's been a noticeable shift. And there's some, I would say pillars, but there's some anchors in my PLN that are very much holding ground and saying, no, we need to be talking about this stuff now. Don't move away. Don't look away. Don't stop. And I find it fascinating how that's pulling, it's pulling the discussions. There's not as many product posts. There's not as many easy sort of platitudes, but who knows? Anything could happen before the end of the summer.
Again, you said a few things that I'd love to jump on, but there's just too much there. I can tell you though, my tweet back to you, your question about what would you do if you weren't doing education. I think my tweet to you was that was a tough question. I didn't answer it because I didn't have an answer. But now I know what my answer would be. It would be, I don't have anything to fall back on.
I used the word qualified, which loaded it. That was the key. Yeah, what are you qualified to do?
I'm not qualified to do anything. I have a graduate degree in like counseling. So I could go and I could work as a counselor, but I don't think I'm qualified anymore. Like I think I'm out of date with respect to like the PD that they do to stay relevant. And so am I qualified? I have experience and I have the piece of paper that allows me to apply to jobs. But I think once I sat down across from somebody and they asked me questions, they might be like, well, do you have this credential and do you have that credential? And I say no, because I've not kept up with those credentials and that PD. And so they might be like, okay, well, we'd love to have you because you've got a lot of experience working with people. Hello, you know, that's what teachers do. You've got a lot of experience with people and you've got a lot of like applicable situations where you've used your counseling skills, but you don't have, you know, certificate A, B, and C that you can easily get, but you don't have them. And now we need to hire someone that has those. So you killed me when you said qualified, because I'm not qualified to do anything else except teach, which now has me thinking. I'm a little bit bothered about that. So what this is what I would do. If I thought I was going to leave teaching, I would be calling a career counselor right away. And I'd be sitting down with somebody to talk, to help me like sift through this. I don't want to call it a mess, but that's what it would be. So imagine you have to leave your profession, but you've been in it so long that you're not qualified to do anything else. Like I don't have anything else, you know, like I don't have and you know what? Your question reminded me of something really cool. Your question reminded me of a time when I was an undergraduate in my fourth year. I was taking a seminar course and it was with an instructor who had just gotten his PhD in psychology. So he was technically, he was a research psychologist. He had that credential and he had gone to law school and he had passed the bar exam. He was also a lawyer. He was both. And the course he was teaching was riveting because it was about, it was a mix of law and psychology together. I'm not going to bore you to death. I'll just tell you it was about administrative segregation. So it was about putting people in the hole in prison. And I took a whole course on that. And I remember thinking this guy was a god. This guy was a psychologist and a lawyer. Just think about that for a second. He could work at any university and do research because he had the credentials, he had the experience, and he could also practice law. Like he could actually work for a law firm. He could work for the Crown. Like he could. So when you say qualified, I think back old school, these people that would gather up their certificates and be in the mix. And so if he was sick and tired of working in academia, he could practice law. And if he was sick and tired of practicing law, he could have a few courses at the university as a sessional lecturer or whatever, and he could make money. Because that's really what it's about. You got to make money. I mean, I could get a job at Walmart, I guess, or I could get a job at Home Depot. But is it going to provide me with what I need to support my family and to live in my home? And probably not. So you killed me with that question, man. You crushed me because my response is I am not qualified to do anything else. Did I tweet that? No, but I'm talking about it here. And I love that other people jumped in.
It's the funny conversation that didn't happen. And I don't know even how it shaped back in the day when we were sort of trying to figure out what On-Ed Mentors was. And there was that idea of supporting new teachers coming into the field. And it's a paradoxical conversation to have, because how do you speak to building a life that doesn't include teaching at the same time as talking about how it could benefit your teaching? So there's a very easy conversation is around the conversation around teachers that have come to teaching after having some other career. They have a different flavor to them than individuals that have done it purely academic and then went right from elementary to secondary to post-secondary to graduate work to becoming a teacher. So there isn't a lot of space for life experience directly to intercept your trajectory. And then you have others that as a second career, or they were a part-time teacher, they did their LTO, they couldn't get a full contract, so they were forced to do something else at the same time to sort of make sure the bills got paid. But there's a third layer to this, is that what credentials are you building along the way that have the dual capacity of supporting your life in the classroom, but also if you decide to step away from the classroom? And that would be a really interesting space to sort of explore a little bit for individuals. What would you step up? And I can think of individuals in my PLN right now that from what they're posting, like they have dual and triple lives. Like they're doing different stuff, man. And if they decided to step away from EDU altogether, they actually would be doing stuff completely dissociated from EDU, but entirely on point with what satisfies them. So there we go. We just put down another 13 minutes. Someone's probably looking for us.
Someone's looking for you. Nobody's looking for me.
All right.
But another great episode. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for your time. I'm glad that we could connect. I'm looking forward to the next summer school edition.
Yeah, for sure, man. Episode 43.
Can you believe that? That's crazy.
Yeah, it is cool.
Okay. Have a good one, and we'll be in touch.
For sure, man. Take care.
You too.